T95. The Rock Station.
Hey, it's Bert Kreischer calling in.
Bert, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm real good.
Literally one of the funniest people on the planet and fellow advocate for bearded bros with belly.
That is such a great way to put me, yes. Fellow advocate for bearded bellied friends.
Yes, yes. I always feel, welcome in the presence of another man who has quite the fantastic beard and is not afraid to show off the belly, you know?
I've always said to, like, you know, we do advertisements for our podcast. Yeah. I've always said, how come we don't have a beard trimmer? Because every one of my shows is filled with men with beards.
Yeah.
Thank God the beard came back for regular guys and not just hermits who wanted to throw male pipe bombs to each other. Yeah, thank God we were rebranded from lumberjacks to just regular guys, right?
I love it.
Has had some weird transitions. Do you think the Hitler mustache will ever make it back?
You know, Michael Jordan, I think, tried it for a little while. It did not go well for him, if I remember right.
Every white guy who ever shaves a beard off, the last thing they shave off is a Hitler mustache.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You shave it. But what's funny is, it's like they take photos of all the other ones, but not that one.
Yeah, dude, anytime I've ever shaved off my beard, the last picture is of a Hitler mustache, and I'm like, doesn't look that bad.
I have to ask this question. Are you wearing a shirt right now?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now. It's freezing in LA.
Oh, my God. That's such a weird concept. Like, obviously all your shows, you know, your shirt comes off. Has there ever been a show where it's been too cold for you to take the shirt off?
No, I love it. I love it cold, especially shirtless. I've never had a problem with that whatsoever. Because, you know, one of the reasons I stopped wearing a shirt was that I would sweat on stage if I had a shirt on, and it would show up in the shirt. And then for, like, a taping, you'd have sweat on your shirt. And I just thought it made me look, like, sad, you know? Like, I was like, ugh. But now, when I take my shirt off, you can't tell. First of all, I don't sweat at all because I'm not hot.
Right.
And if the room's cold, the colder the better.
Well, hey, let's talk about your latest special on Netflix, Secret Time. And I'm not kidding when I say it is one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's your third special, right?
It's my third special. I just shot my fourth in Cleveland in November. So that'll come out sometime in 2020, at the beginning of 2020.
And for those of you that are listening to this, if you've not watched Secret Time on Netflix yet, this is by far the funniest thing you're ever going to see. Because it had me in tears the whole time. You talk about your family a lot.
aggressively.
Yeah, and not always in the greatest light. Like, what are their reactions when they hear these jokes?
Oh, my daughters didn't hear about it until it aired. Like, when it aired, my youngest daughter got to school, and people were saying stuff to her like, you keep your deodorant in the refrigerator? And my daughter's like, yeah, how do you know that? And they're like, your dad tells everybody. And she came home, she was like, hey, big boy, what are we talking about on this special? And I was like, oh, sorry, honey. And then for this special, I had to run bits by them and get their permission. Cause I was like, cause now they're getting older and it's like, they're starting to date boys, and I don't want the wrong boys to be attracted to them. It's like where they come to the house and they're like, I'm here to pick up Georgia. I can't believe you're the machine. So,
like, when your family comes out to your shows, are you good with telling the jokes in front of them, or do you like cut those when they're in the audience?
My girls have never seen me perform.
Really?
Yeah. My wife is the litmus. Like, I bring my wife out when I'm about to record a special. I'll bring my wife out to like a bunch of shows. She'll watch the material, and if there's anything, like this special, she said there was too many poop jokes up front. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I mean, if I'm watching this as a fan, I'm turning the channel. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I run all the stuff about my daughters and my wife. There's only one joke my wife's killed that had her in it, and it was about the unforbidden land behind that kind of sexual activity. So she was like, nah, kill that. Kill that.
One of your biggest jokes ever, probably the one that brought you into the limelight, is the whole machine thing. You've confirmed that at least most of this story is true. Do you ever worry about the Russian mob maybe coming for you for telling that over and over again on the public light?
What's so funny is the reason the story went viral, and I didn't know this until like a month later, was that what was happening was when people shared the machine story on their Facebook from my Facebook page,
yeah,
the top comment from my page was the first comment on their page. So that was the first comment anyone saw when they saw it on their page. And the top comment was this girl, Kristen Hodgson. She wrote, literally wrote, I was in Bert's Russian class. I was on this trip. This story is 100% true. He robbed us. And that is what got the story viral. And so what's crazy, and then she tagged all the people in my class. So all the people in my class now have come to my shows. They've reached out. They've sent me like one kid sent me the syllabus that we got, like a little syllabus book for our trip to Russia. He's like, dude, I had two of them. I just found this. I thought I'd send it to you. It's crazy. So then my biggest fear always has been I will get booked to do a corporate gig. I'll get there and it'll be at a mob restaurant. Right. That's been my biggest fear always. And then yesterday I got a phone call from my agent. He was like, yo, we got a phone call from a big promoter in Russia who wants you to do shows in Moscow and St. Petersburg. He's like, are you in? And I was like, if you can get a deal with like some network to do a documentary on me going back to Russia, I'm in 100%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so in September, I'm going back to Russia.
So that's fantastic. Do you still keep in touch with Igor?
No, I'm sure he's dead.
You don't know that.
There's
maybe
no
Igor's
way
still
that
hanging around.
Alive. He would have had to have major life changes. There's no way.
Earlier this year, I went on a podcast kick, and I found not only you with the Bertcast, but I found your buddy Tom Segura too.
Yeah,
with your mom's basement, you and the Bertcast, like seriously, some of the funniest stuff out there in podcast world or whatever you want to call it. What I found great about yours is you recently had Michelle Wolf on there, and the whole time you guys are just like geeking out about comics and jokes and sets and stuff. Like you geek out with these comics like I would when I'm talking to another musician about other bands and music. It's incredible.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things when I first got into comedy, one of my favorite things was sitting around other comics and hearing them tell a joke. Like, it's the best thing about comedy is like, oh, did you hear dot, dot, dot's new joke? Like, I remember the first time I heard the Red Fox Billy Crystal story. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
And where he goes, man, I ain't performing for no 80 people. Bum, 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 bum. And so I was crying laughing. And I was like, this is the best, man, to sit around a group of people who their only job in life is to make each other laugh, make other people laugh. But more importantly, when we get around each other, we have all these inside jokes that, like, any Dave Attell joke. Like, I told a Dave Attell joke to Nick Thune last night.
Yeah.
Apparently, he went in, there were these four Latino women in the front row that were in a bad mood, and everyone was having a hard time dealing with them. And Attell just gets up on stage, and he goes, oh, ladies, what's the matter? Did Selena die again?
Oh, no.
I mean,
oh, no.
That, for me, is like a gem. And the opportunity to hang out with comedians and do that,
yeah,
once a week, twice a week, dude, that's dream come true.
It's funny you mentioned Dave Attell because I was just watching your YouTube series, Something's Burning, and it was the one I just saw was you, Dave Attell, and Gilbert Gottfried doing fish and chips. I'm serious when I say this. I was in stitches the whole time because not only are you and Dave hilarious, but Gilbert Gottfried, there is something about just that man's presence that brings you to tears and laughter.
He's human Prozac, man. He makes me giggle so hard.
His jokes.
It was an honor to do a show with both of them. And obviously, I'm the biggest Dave Attell fan there is. There is not one bigger Dave Attell fan. And so that was a dream come true.
When you do the show, Something's Burning. I mean, you've had some pretty big comics on there as well. I'm honestly amazed at how well some of the food comes out at the end of this.
Can I tell you, I'm more amazed.
Really?
Like, oh, 100%. I did a hot Nashville hot chicken sandwich for my wife and Wheeler Walker Jr.
Uh-huh.
And I bit into it, and it was perfectly cooked and perfectly seasoned. And I knew I had messed this up. Like, I knew that the sandwich wasn't going to taste good. And I bit into it, and I was like, I can't believe it's this good. And Wheeler goes, I can't believe I'm on a show where the chef is shocked the food's good. Yeah, I am consistently impressed. Like, I made homemade pasta with Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Homemade pasta. That's something I've always wanted to do, make homemade pasta. I was so bad with the mixing of the ingredients. Like, I thought I knew this one way to do it, and it wasn't the way. But, man, we made the pasta. It was phenomenal. Like, I mean, best pasta I've ever had in my entire life. And I was like, I kept looking going, can you believe I did this?
No, I actually did learn something from your cooking show. I learned how to make Gordon Ramsay's perfect scrambled eggs from your show, not from Gordon Ramsay.
Is that not the best scrambled eggs you've ever had?
Phenomenal. Like, I've never, I watched you do it, and I thought, there's no way. And I did it, and you're 100% right. It is the best possible. I've never had scrambled eggs better than that ever again.
Dude, I do this. I bought a special whisk so that I can make these, and it's all about tempering the heat and letting them cook off the heat, not getting too hot. Dude, I just had those the other day. I had three eggs scrambled like that. My God, what the? It's like a treat. You eat them and you go, this is what scrambled eggs were supposed to. It's like getting on a private jet and going, so you can travel like this also?
Right.
I mean, I'm glad that made it to someone else, because those, my daughters don't like them done like that.
What?
But God, they're the best damn egg. Oh, my daughters are dumb tongues.
Oh, no. But I thought it was funny that I learned how to make Gordon Ramsay's perfect scrambled eggs from Something's Burning with Burt Kreischer.
Yeah, I'm sure Gordon Ramsay loves that I just stole his bit and just goes like, I saw this online, I'm going to do it on my show now.
Yeah. The Birdie Boy Tour, you've started the Birdie Boy Tour, right?
No, we start January 30th. I'm in production on my Netflix series right now.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So we shoot that in January, and then I'm at the store every night writing new material because I want to have a new hour to take on this tour. And right now we got 31 minutes. I think we're going to be 100% fine for a full new hour. But tour starts January 30th in Burlington, Vermont. And then I think I'm in Wichita on Thursday, April 23rd, and we just added another show, a 9:30 show.
Yep, 7 and 9:30, going to be at the Orpheum right here in Wichita. Yeah, I'm really excited because I've seen all of your specials, and I'm not kidding when I say that I have been laughing at you and with you for years now, and I'm super stoked that I finally get to laugh with you and at you in person.
I just care that you're laughing.
Well,
that's all that matters to me.
It's a constant thing, man. And I'm always like, if I'm in a shitty mood, I'll pull up your specials, man. And it brings me to tears, laughing at everything going on. I'm like, you know, I could be okay.
Dude, look, let me tell you something. I this is the beauty of being an artist in today's world, is you can share everything. I deal with anxiety pretty aggressively.
Yeah.
And lately, obsessive compulsiveness, like just chewing up a thought over and over in your mind. Like, so you said the wrong thing at a party and then you can't get it out of your head the next day.
Yeah.
And it just messes your day up. And the other day, Bill Burr called me and said something to me that was one of the funniest things in the world. And I laughed. And for that one second, I totally got removed from all my problems.
Yeah.
It was Bill Burr. Now, I'm lucky enough to call him on the phone, but like, if comedy or any of the stuff I does gets one person that's dealing with crap in their head out of their head for a second and they get a moment of relief, then it's worth all the Speedo dance videos and, and marching bands in my backyard and jumping off the stratosphere and all the jokes about my daughter. It's worth all of it. So thank you.
I will tell you too, your weight loss journey that you did with Tom Segura actually inspired, me and a buddy of mine in the building to do a podcast. We called it Forgive Me Food for I Have Sinned.
Oh, and, great title.
And we did, we basically do a confession every week about something terrible we did. Like, we all just kind of broke down for the holidays. And last night, I think we both were eating cookie dough and macaroni and cheese just by chance. Watching football. So it's been an interesting journey. We've lost 20 pounds and then gained 15 back. So,
well, let me give you my food confession.
Okay.
Last night I got high and got a massage, and I walked into the house that we got the massage in my man cave, and my daughters had ordered different ramens from a place, and they sold them in little quart containers, you know, like a taller container.
Right.
My confession is I pounded a ramen like an athlete who just ran a marathon and just, I'm talking, didn't even chew, just swallowed noodles.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I went ramen to pho and then back to ramen.
Now the other part of that is too, when we do our confession, we roll the dice of chance. We have to do an exercise to make up for it. That's our penance.
Oh, well, my exercise is I woke up at 5:20 in the morning, started doing radio, and I've walked 8,000 steps pacing in my man cave.
Boom. Boom. Penance paid, I believe.
Penance paid.
Bert Kreischer, at Bert Kreischer on Twitter and Instagram. Going to be here April 23rd at the Orpheum. Shows at 7 and 9:30. You get tickets now at BertBertBert.com. Thank you so much for calling in and talking with us, Bert. And I am stoked to see you in April, man.
Thank you, brother. I'll see you in April.
Alexa, make me a sandwich.
I'm not your mom. Make it yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. You're not my mom.
Your new Amazon Echo can't do that, but it can get you T95 whenever you want.
Tell her to enable the T95 skill to listen live anytime.